But Polygon topped ETH. This is the second month in a row, so December, January. Polygon topped ETH on OpenSea sales as far as sales volume. Not dollars, but sales volume for the second straight month. So in December, there was, I think, 1.3 million Polygon compared to 1 million, so 300,000 more. January was 1.5 million compared to 1.1 on ETH. Again, sales. So that was pretty big shocker to me. You know, they said a lot of that in January was actually the Donald Trump NFT. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance from personal to commercial and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back to another episode. This is your host, Cole. Tonight I've got Rusty with me as always, and this is Web3 Putts. Rusty, it's another Wednesday. Good to see you again, my man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Hell of a weekend of golf. Doodles too. We got a lot to cover here tonight, but it's been a good week so far.
Yeah, a lot to cover, but it kind of feels slow to me in NFTs and in the market. You know, I don't know if you saw the Fed made their announcement today. They raised interest rates again, 0.25%. Thought it was going to be pretty bearish, but right now it's looking kind of bullish. I don't know if you see, ETH is up pretty big. The stock market was going up. So I'm not sure. I know they said sometimes that can hinge on Powell's comments afterwards. Maybe right. His speech or whatever was more bullish and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, everything kind of pumped after that, which was a shocker to me. I was predicting crashes.
Chaos. Which, yeah, you know, I know that you've been touting that for a bit, or, you know, kind of not touting it, but interested to see what was going to happen with this announcement today. I don't think it's a shock that they raise rates again. Mm-hmm. I mean, being in a recession that they won't call a recession is pretty damn obvious, if you ask me. But, you know, that's the thing about Web3 is, like, Web3 doesn't give a shit about what, as a, you know, as a whole, it doesn't give a shit about what's going on, what the government says it's doing. Or the, you know, it's kind of a rogue, which I enjoy. That's why I enjoy it, because it's like, hey, we're going to do it our way and it's going to work. So let's go.
Makes it very hard to predict. But you're right. You know, and I think there's still some things out there. He was saying, you know, tomorrow is, I think, Facebook, Google, Amazon announces their earnings. I think four. There's one other one. I forget who the other one is, but, and they are the highest. They hold more percentage of the S&P 500 than like the bottom 200 companies on there. Right. So that's going to be a big swing depending on what happens there. And then Friday, I think, is a big announcement too. So it's pretty early to see what's going to happen overall in the market, but it was a little bit of a shocker to me that everything was pumping.
Hasn't this happened before when the Fed raised rates and then, I think it's more of just kind of a wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, with the crypto game, what's going to happen? I mean, yeah, everything here is up. Bitcoin's up, Ethereum's up. XRP, your jam.
That's
good. XRP's up. ADA is up. Polygon's up a lot. 11% today. So yeah, pretty cool to see.
Speaking of Polygon, since you mentioned it, I was reading an article today, and I didn't realize this, but Polygon topped ETH. This is the second month in a row, so December, January. Polygon topped ETH on OpenSea sales as far as sales volume. Not dollars, but sales volume for the second straight month. So in December, there was, I think, 1.3 million Polygon compared to 1 million, so 300,000 more. January was 1.5 million compared to 1.1 on ETH. Again, sales. So that was a pretty big shocker to me. You know, they said a lot of that in January was actually the Donald Trump NFT.
That thing's pumping, man.
Yeah.
They said I saw the other day it was up a good bit.
Yeah, it was a big contributor to those numbers in January. If you look at sales dollars, ETH is still way higher. This is for January. I think ETH was $446 million versus 15.4 on Polygon. So you're not getting the big number sales. There's not a whole lot of huge projects on Polygon anyways. You know, there's the floor prices, as in they're not huge compared to what we see on ETH. So then a lot of that is for that reason. But some big names on there that are contributing, you know, Starbucks, Reddit, Meta, a couple others, you know, the Donald Trump one, that are big contributors. I was kind of shocked to see just overall volume was Polygon, big timer this month.
That's what the DraftKings Rainmakers is on the Polygon blockchain. I think we might have touched on it last week. It just seems like a lot of the big companies, the big players out there, maybe in the Web2 space, are using the Polygon platform rather than the Ethereum platform. I also saw that there was a rumor, or it's actually happening, not to derail the Polygon talk, but that Bitcoin, there's going to be NFTs on Bitcoin soon.
So there's been Bitcoin had NFTs before. They're not popular, but I think the very first NFTs were actually on Bitcoin way back like 2017-ish.
Oh, okay.
There is some Bitcoin NFTs. Now, obviously, they're not doing it currently now, but yeah, maybe. I mean, I think if you can get like a layer two Bitcoin NFT that would be transactional and scalable.
Right.
You know, that's the main problem with Bitcoin. It's just not very scalable. It is very decentralized, but very slow.
Yes. Yes. So with the Polygon, you had mentioned something about the layer one and layer two with ETH.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of plays into Bitcoin too. You know, layer one, for our listeners that may not know, a layer one blockchain is going to be your bigger names that you're familiar with: Ethereum, Bitcoin, BNB. And that refers to the base level of the blockchain architecture, the structure. A layer two network is one that's built on top of the layer one. So it runs on the same blockchain, the same network, but it has different layers scalability. So that's your layer ones are usually slower. They're going to be harder to scale and to have faster transactions. And so that's where you see Polygon coming in. I think that's why a lot of those bigger Web2 brands are building on Polygon. It's fast, it's scalable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be easy for their current consumer base to use. Ethereum's, you know, you got to be kind of Web3 native to deal in and out of it. The gas fees, the gas war sometimes, you know, you've got to kind of know what you're doing. Where Polygon, built on top of that Ethereum network, you can transfer over if you wanted to. So the Web3 natives can still use it. It's easy for them. And it also makes it very easy for user-friendly for some of those beginners out there.
I was trying to buy something on Poly. Not buy. It was a free NFT airdrop from 8-Bit Tea Time.
Okay, yeah.
Do you see the clubs that he put out?
No, but he had sent me a couple. You know, when we did those giveaways, the ones he sent us were on Polygon.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was free, and then I went in. I switched over my MetaMask to the Polygon network, and I went to do it, but it was charging me gas. But I didn't think that there was anything I'd have to pay for. And I didn't have any Polygon at the time, any Matic, so I couldn't get it. But it was just it was confusing. But probably more so that was user error rather than you know, that network as a whole. For me, it was just I was trying to do something really quick without really taking any time.
When I tried to mess with it that one time that he had sent this to us, I was trying to send out to our winner on the giveaway, and it was very, I don't want to say difficult, because kind of what we've done before is very difficult, but it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. I had to switch back and forth to ETH, and I didn't have any poly, so I did the same thing. I had to buy some to pay the fees, and it was kind of a mess. But one quick for our listeners that aren't as native, maybe an analogy would be like a highway, a major city highway. You know, layer one is going to be your current infrastructure, traffic, it's very busy. If you're looking at a layer two, maybe that's some additional service roads, some side roads that you could get around, cut off the traffic. It's a quicker route. So that's kind of what the layer one, layer two is a way to make it more scalable, quicker, faster, easier to use when those networks get real busy.
Right. No, that makes sense. Makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think we'll see more people continue to build on Poly, especially the bigger brands that are coming in. TBD.
TBD. Have you ever looked on OpenSea at like a collection that maybe just minted or recently was kind of pumping, and they do like the live sales and everything, and like you're searching, you're searching through it, and like you can just watch the floor pump?
Yeah. No, I've never watched that.
Well, I kind of spaced out a little bit just a second ago, because there's a project called What the Fluff.
Yep, saw it.
They're pretty sick. Actually, they're really cool looking little gremlin creatures. But I was looking at it when I think when I got on here tonight, the floor was like 0.089. And I literally just saw it go to 0.095 in like 2 minutes, and all of these NFTs just get bought.
That's pretty wild.
And it just keeps happening.
Yeah. No, I've never watched anything live on there. I honestly haven't been looking at OpenSea or anything too late as of late, but I need to get on there. I need to buy something soon. I've got the itch pretty bad.
What are you going to buy?
I don't know.
I'm about to buy a What the Fluff right now.
Are you?
They're sick.
0.1 now.
What?
It's 0.1 now. You said it was 0.09. Now it's 0.1. It's got to be ripping.
0.095. Man. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a pretty cool feature if you're really bored and you just want to watch shit sell.
Try it on Blur and see if you can snag one cheaper. I think Blur's, you know, you started.
So I haven't used Blur yet. Have you? How much have you used it?
I haven't used it to buy anything or make any offers, but I've connected my wallet to it and done some searching. Because the good thing about Blur is it, I think it gets all of the aggregate marketplaces in there. So it picks the best price from every single marketplace and gives that price to you. So you're not just looking at OpenSea. You're not just looking at LooksRare. It's got all of them in there, X2Y2, all those. And it gives you the cheapest one on every blockchain. So you can probably go in there, make some offers, and see if you can get something
better. So that's got to be, like, we talked about it last week, how I was confused about the Atom Bomb Squad and, like, all these things coming through at, like, 0.13, 0.12, whatever. And it happened again yesterday, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do I got to figure this out. And I went on OpenSea, tried to figure it out, still couldn't figure it out. So it's got to be, they got to be bought on Blur, but like the Atom Bomb bot Twitter has to be only connected to OpenSea just to show the, like, the listing on OpenSea. Because when you go look at the NFT in OpenSea, it shows you, okay, it was bought for 0.12. But when you look at the analytics or the activity part of it, it does not show you that you were, you bought it at point. It doesn't say that it was bought at 0.12. In fact, a lot of times it doesn't even show that it was bought. So I'm wondering, I'm guessing like that's only shown.
What the Fluff has a 9% creator fee. Not to cut you off, but yeah. I bet you if you go onto Blur, you can probably cut that 9% out and you're going to get one a lot cheaper. If they have that written in the contract. These things are sweet, dude.
I know. 9% creator fee, that's tough.
Yeah, I bet you on Blur they're a lot cheaper if their contract allows it. Yeah, dude, these things are sick. It's got the Cookie Monster one right here.
Yeah, and they're not even like, they all are basically look like one of ones. Like there's none, there's no two that are even close to the same.
Yeah. These are cool. This must have been, it says January. This must have just came out.
Yeah, so yesterday when I looked at it, or maybe it was earlier today, they had not revealed yet.
Oh, so they must have just revealed.
Mm-hmm.
You should make a collection offer and see what you can do.
Yeah, but then I got to transfer all the shit to Weath.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to do that.
Go to Blur and see if you can snag one.
I'm going to try it.
Those are cool, man. I don't know anything about them. I don't know if they'll be worth anything, but they look cool. I would keep one. Kind of cute little fuzzy ball guys.
Yeah, they're like gremlins.
Yeah.
If I don't know. You might be too young. Did you ever watch some of the gremlins? Okay.
I've seen the gremlins, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they remind me of. There's like a lamb chop right here.
They do. There's one that looks just like a gremlin in here. That third one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get one, and we'll
like a demonic Furby.
Yeah, Furbies. Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm sure there's got to be some people out there listening that like collect Furbies. Probably have like millions of dollars worth of Furbies.
That and Beanie Babies or something. You know, that was a thing.
Oh yeah, Beanie Babies was huge. Forgot about that. Those real life collectibles. Wonder how they're doing now.
I think there's a few that are worth a good bit of money, but overall, they're not worth much at all. I got a bunch of them the other day when I went home. My grandma used to buy us like a Beanie Baby every time she came to see us. I had like, I don't know, probably 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom gave them all to me when I saw her over Christmas. She's like, maybe got this kid on the way. She's like, maybe the kid wants the Beanie Baby. So I'm just going to look and see if any of them worth anything and maybe sell them on eBay, but and keep the rest.
My dog tries to bite them, to eat them.
Oh, I'm sure. I think there's a couple characters that are worth some money, but for the most part, probably not.
So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to buy a What the Fluff. And when I wake up in the morning, the floor is going to be like 0.15. If I bought it right now, when I woke up in the morning, the floor is at like 0.07. That's just how that's just how it'll work. It's all me. So I'm not gonna do it, and I'm gonna test my theory.
Yeah, probably a good idea. It's gonna, you know, if it's new and it just revealed, it's gonna pump and then dump. That's probably smart.
Yeah. Yep.
Or you could buy one now and maybe flip it tomorrow.
No, yeah, for 0.07, lose 0.02 plus gas.
But you like it, then you just keep it.
There's not many.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we'll keep it on. We'll circle back. So I was doing some research today on two things. Obviously, people that listen to the pod know that I enjoy Doodles a great deal. It's one of the probably the blue chip that I want the most. We discussed last week, Doodles 2 was dropping yesterday. And I put a tweet out on the Web3 Putz account about, you know, there just wasn't a ton of buzz. Now, I do understand that not having a doodle, I'm not ingrained in that ecosystem or that community. So it's not like I see a ton of doodle hype all the time, because it's not like I'm following, you know, the whales of doodles. But it just didn't seem like it was popping off that much. But I did get some more information on doodles too, and, you know, being on the Flow blockchain with Dapper. And now I'm starting to understand what the duplicator was for. There's also the doodles, the Genesis box, which is going to be another part of Doodles 2. And, you know, you can go on to, what's it, Gaia? Is that what it's called? Gaia? G-A-I-A?
I believe so. But so Doodles 2 hasn't actually dropped, right? It's just the wearables for Doodles 2.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is. Like, that's what Doodles 2 is.
It's just the wearables.
Yeah, like the Roblox type thing where you can change the skins of it.
Yeah, but you can't change the skin unless you have a doodle.
Right, so it's really not even Doodles 2, because it's really just Doodles 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it's not like you're getting an... I mean, yes, you're getting another NFT, but it's not... But you're only getting that NFT if you previously had one or have one.
So Doodles 2 is just the wearable. So if you buy the wearable, you're technically a Doodles 2 holder. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's how I understand it.
Okay, I was thinking it was going to be like another doodle PFP, and then you were able to change its outfits, skins.
So I'm on the Gaia website, G-A-I-A, and Doodles 2 is the Doodles 2 beta pass. The beta pass will be unboxed with the duplicator. If you don't have a duplicator, you can get a Genesis box on Ethereum, and it comes with a second edition Doodles 2 wearables and a beta pass. Now, you can go on the secondary market right now and buy a Doodles beta pass if you would like.
You can buy a duplicator too.
You can. But I don't think having a duplicator, a beta pass, a Genesis box does anything if you don't have a doodle.
Right.
So, like,
the way I understood it, I watched a video earlier. This guy was talking about it. You have to have a doodle, and you take your doodle. You have to own the doodle. You have to own the duplicator box. You take the two, press a button, whatever, and it duplicates. Your doodle pops out like six options of wearables. Three or four you can see, and then you know what they're going to be. And then there's two or three that are unknown. Traits. So you might get some rare traits. Depends on your doodle. Those traits might be rare. But it pops out. You get six different wearables, from hats, mask, jacket, puffy jackets, pants, shoes, you name it.
Shoes, yep.
And then those wearables are sold on Flow, or can be traded and sold on the Flow blockchain. And that's where I guess you would interact to be a Doodles 2 holder. From what we're saying here is what it sounds like. I did see today only 7% of the duplicators in circulation have been used so far. So it seems like a lot of the doodles holders are actually holding on to them to see if they flip them, maybe they grow in price. It looks like a lot of them are just being held out. I saw too, one of the extremely rare traits was listed on Flow, and Flow doesn't show you dollar amounts in ETH. So it was listed on there for $15,000. It was like this bat wing thing.
Well,
but I think the highest sale so far is like $1,000 or $1,500 US as a Doodle 2.
There was a cat moccasins that are listed right now for $200,000.
Yeah, no one's buying that. Well, sure. Someone actually might. Someone actually might. I guess. But.
Yeah, I see like a leopard hoodie sold for $1,500.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest sale.
Because you can buy, you can either use Flow tokens or you can use USD mm-hmm. to buy on Gaia.
So I'm kind of confused though. Like Doodle's whole mission statement was to bring more people into Web3 and to be able to onboard a ton of people that aren't, you know, Doodle's holders currently that can't afford that floor price
mm-hmm.
of $10,000, $12,000, whatever it is. Who's going to want? I certainly don't have any interest in buying wearables for a Doodle to be a Doodle's holder or in their ecosystem.
No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It sounds like this is no good without the original Doodle.
No, and like...
In my mind.
I also don't know why I would really care to dress my Doodle up. Like, I'm a 37-year-old dude. My daughter plays with Barbies.
So there's got to be something more coming, right? Because you can only see the top half of that Doodle currently, but a lot of the wearables are shoes, pants...
Yeah, like a pair of birthday shorts sold for $3,000.
So there's got to be a new avatar or something, a full body avatar that you're going to get or see. I think we're missing something.
We got to be. I mean, but I agree. Like, this, what does this do for people like you and I to get into the Doodles community without owning a Doodle? Like Dead Fellas put out their Dead Friends, which is their animals. Mm-hmm. I miss mine. But both. Yeah, so like that was your introduction into the Dead Fellas community at a lower price point than buying a Dead Fellow, when at the time was... I think one or two ETH.
Yeah.
And then I think I bought the first Dead Friends at way too much, but it wasn't like I could just get a Dead Fella. So it was my introduction into it.
Like V Friends 2, same thing.
Exactly, same thing. And I guess in a way Bored Ape did the same thing with the dogs and the which at a lower price point than the Bored Apes at that point. But this doesn't seem like it's that at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe we need to read more into it. But like you said, from my point of view, I could care less about a wearable if I don't own the Doodle to put it on.
Yeah, the only thing that would have been beneficial for us is like, 2 weeks ago, bought a duplicator and then tried to flip it now. Like that would have been our play with the whole Doodles 2 deal. But because like the duplicator is up 300% today in the last 24 hours.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna have to dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll circle back on that, but. And I don't know how that aligns with their mission of onboarding all these people because, you know, I'm not going to go in there and just trade wearables just to be part of Doodles.
No, I'm not interested. Sorry.
Yeah. So maybe we're missing something, but we'll circle back on that.
Gotta be.
We'll do more research.
So you know how I love Killer Bears also, which is my other favorite?
Blue Chip, yep.
I don't know if it's a blue chip, but I guess it's close. Anyway, they're putting out an open edition.
That's a big thing nowadays.
That you're going to be able to mint, which I'm going to try to get in on.
How do you get in it?
Apparently, you can mint. No, you can mint on the website. Is what I read today. Friday.
Open editions are hot, man. That's the new meta right now. Other than turning your Twitter to private. Open editions.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know, man. That's all Friday I saw.
Friday at 4:20. Mint will only be official on our official website.
4:20.
One of the creators of one of the team members of Killer Bears is it's behind. He's behind it.
What's the price?
Doesn't say.
Most open editions are pretty low because there's going to be like 30,000 of them, you know.
So this says, someone on Twitter said 0.02 each.
Yeah. That's actually probably a pretty good play if you can get it. You can probably flip it, I bet. If it's good, if it's, you know. The main thing with open editions is like the gamification of a lot. I don't know if you've seen a lot of those, like VV checks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was one I fucking missed, too. The other last week or something, somebody I was following that I trust that has some projects was like, I just bought 20 off the floor.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know about it. And I went and looked and it was like 0.2 ETH.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh. So like I've been waiting for, and maybe someone can reach out to let me understand why I can't transfer my ETH from Coinbase to MetaMask yet. But that's another story for another day. But now they're at like 0.75 ETH in like a week.
Yeah. Because he announced like a game, like burn mechanics in a game with them. So I think they were all blue checks originally, and you can burn. I guess if you have one or two, you can burn them to get a different color check.
Oh, really?
And then I forget the whole story behind it, but yeah, if you have like a certain color, it's one of the rarest ones. So people are trying to burn them to get that color. I think it's purple or something, or black maybe. And there's only a couple that you can get. So it introduced this big game, but they all minted for like 0.05.
Right.
Yeah, just dirt cheap.
Yeah, because this guy was like, yeah, I missed out on Chromie Squiggles. He's like, I wasn't missing out on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He bought 20 of them, so he's made $20,000 in a week.
I minted one the other day. I meant to send it to you, and I had something happen. I can't remember. And I haven't even checked the price since I did it, but I put a tweet out about open editions being the new meta and the thing to do. And this dude sent me a reply or DM or something. And it was like, you know, the Rare Pepes, the frog guys.
Oh yeah.
It was like Rare Pepe Grenades or something. And it was an open edition free mint. So I minted three, paid like $2 for gas. But I don't know if this ever, whatever happened to it, but I figured, like, while open editions were hot, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I meant to tell
you.
Yeah,
why not?
I forgot.
It's just like Psyche from Deadfellas just put out an open edition. I sent that to you.
Yeah.
I didn't have any ETH in my wallet, but at the time.
Meta wins.
Meta losses. And it was only like 0.02. And I would have, it was sick, but I just couldn't, I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Pepe
Nades, that was the name of it.
Pepe Nades.
It's just like a spinning grenade. Yeah, I don't know about their OpenSea. I haven't looked, but not sure if that's worth a dollar, but it was free.
Hey, you never know. It might be worth $2.
That's right. Double my money. Do you love wines from Sonoma? Well, it's never too late to stop making bad life decisions. Dedicated to honesty, quality, and family, Bueller Vineyards is a fourth-generation vineyard and winery perched on a mountaintop just 5 country miles east of St. Helena in the heart of Napa Valley. Situated on 300 acres, their family has been farming Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel for more than five decades. They attempt to combine meticulous vineyard management and minimal winemaking techniques to create wines of uncommon complexity and depth, and to present these wines to their customers at a fair and reasonable price. Cab is king, and Napa is its kingdom. Recruiting Solutions. Stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business. Whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call. What's you want to hit golf? Switch over?
Yeah. Great, great weekend of golf.
I saw some winners. I didn't get to watch a whole lot. I was a little tied up this weekend.
What were you tied up with, Cole?
Well, I was playing golf Sunday. I walked 18 in the rain, which was miserable. It wasn't raining when I started. Saturday, I just had a lot going on, a lot of couch time, just no TV. I was really resting up for my big battle Sunday on the course. Didn't help, though. Didn't help. Sounds lost my money.
Did you get some Smash Brothers in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw, too, after the fact, I didn't realize this, but Joe Burrow is a big Super Smash Bros. Guy.
Really?
Apparently, that's all he plays before the games and stuff, like on the planes and all.
Huh.
So I need to get with Joey B and see, now that he's got a lot of off time, you know, downtime in the offseason here, maybe he'll win a battle. Joe, if you're listening, you don't want it.
I need to get that for Switch.
Oh, you got a Switch?
Yeah.
No, dude. Yeah, you got to. That was the best N64 game there was, other than like GoldenEye.
Ooh, GoldenEye's coming back out.
I heard. Yeah, that's going to be sick. But yeah, you can play online, like against people. So that's what we smashed them. Who knows? It was very late.
So yeah, golf. Great weekend of golf. Max Homa brings home the win at Torrey Pines.
My boy.
Rory McIlroy brings home the win over in Dubai. We'll get with Rory first because it's a, you know, three-shot lead going into Sunday. I'm sorry, Monday, because Thursday was rained out. So they extended it to a Monday finish. Rory had to make a putt on the last hole to beat Patrick Reed by one.
He should have never thrown that tee at him.
I mean, could you imagine the golf world if it would have... I mean, Rory versus Patrick Reed in a playoff? Huh. Not to mention Rory or Patrick Reed was in another controversy with a ball in a tree.
Yeah, I did see that. What happened there? I saw him. I saw his statement that it was no big deal and rules official.
So he hit a ball into a palm tree, or towards two palm trees, I guess, and he claims that he was able to locate, because if you can locate your ball in the tree, even if you have to climb up the tree, you can do that. That's fine. If you can do that, then you can take an unplayable lie rather than go back to the tee like an OB ball, right? Yeah. So instead of hitting three from the back of the tee, you're hitting three from your unplayable lie by that tree. Mm. So he claimed that he spotted his ball, that there was, I guess, an arrow on his ball. The rules official said, yeah, looks, if you're good with it, I'm good with it. Without, you know, going up into the tree or whatnot.
Of course he's good with
I mean, obviously everyone hates Patrick Reed. I don't hate him. I don't love him. I don't like him. But, like, he's just fine, whatever. He's a hell of a golfer. But he does seem to find himself in a lot of these predicaments, which is unfortunate. But so then Golf Twitter takes off on it and goes through all the analytics of how that could not be his ball because the ball was going at this rate of speed on this trajectory, had to have hit the first tree, not the second tree. It could never have gotten sucked there. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. If he cheated, not the first time for him, you know, allegedly, and whatnot. But so that cost him, you know, well, it didn't cost him, but that kind of kept him in there. I think he was three back going into Sunday or Monday. Played really well, but Rory just got him. And as Rory does, that's his third win at that course. So he, you know, good for Rory. And like I said last week, you know, we're getting into the good events. So then you had Torrey. You know, we talked about it starting on Wednesday, ending Saturday, which I think was great for the tournament because there was nothing on TV on Saturday to watch. Yeah. So was kind of locked in on it. Max was a few back going into Saturday. Sam Ryder, him and his – you wear joggers, Cole, to play golf?
No, I do not. I don't own any joggers.
Well, I have nothing against joggers, like, when you're just chilling, but not a big fan of it on the golf course. Anyway, he rocking his joggers, and maybe they were a little bit too tight around his ankles coming down the stretch and made a double and whatnot. And Max went out and got it. He played a hell of a round.
6-6, you know, 5-under?
You know, 17 out – or he had a hell of a shot in the 16, par 3 – played 17 really well. 18, he didn't even have to go for it in two to win, but I listened to him on another pod on the four or the No Laying Up pod from their recap pod, and he was saying he didn't know that Sam Ryder didn't have a chance to win at that point, so that's why he went for it. You know, if you know Torrey Pines on 18 on the south course, there's water in front of the green. So, you know, a big number – it's not a hard hole, but, you know, a big number can happen there. And and so, yeah, Max came out to win. So now he's won at Riv, and now he's won at Torrey Pines. So he's kind of got that Southern California slam.
California kid, baby. He's coming for the Open.
I think the next one he's got to win will be Phoenix next week, now that he's a Scottsdale resident.
Okay.
That could be kind of his cycle, hit for the cycle for everywhere he's lived or in the territory. So really happy for Max. His wife and his son were there.
My Torrey pick Pines, to win the U.S. Open.
Your pick for the U.S. Open.
A lot of them were talking about him. Apparently he has a record there. Maybe not a record, but he – had a very good round, I think, I believe, in college at L.A. Country Club. High school or college, one of the two. But
yeah, I mean, he's going to be comfortable there. So it's going to be a home game for him, kind of like Riv is. And so, yeah, it's really good to see. John Rahm played well again last week. Couldn't get the W. But this week they're at Pebble.
Yeah.
The field is kind of shitty. For Pebble, I don't think any of the big guys, except for I think Jordan Spieth is probably the headliner there, and that's because he plays with Jake Owen every single year that event.
Yeah, Jake's a pretty good golfer, I believe, right?
He is a good. He played at Florida State for a year, I believe.
Okay.
But he plays with him every year. And but none of the other big guys want to go there and play 5-hour rounds and 6-hour rounds just so that they can go hang out with Aaron Rodgers or, you know, anybody like that.
Yeah.
But the other big event this week is over in Saudi Arabia, the Asian Tour / Live Tour event. Has a really good field. A lot of the Live guys, DJ, Phil, are playing in it. So is Cameron Young from the PGA Tour. He's playing in it. Two other PGA Tour guys are playing in it, which is interesting that the tour allowed Jay Monahan allowed them to go over there to play.
Yeah.
When they're skipping a flagship, not, I wouldn't say it's not an elevated event. Pebble isn't, but you know, it's one of the more iconic events on the tour. So they're allowed to go play in Saudi Arabia, in a tournament that's co-sanctioned with LIV in a way.
Enemy territory. Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, so it's a good field over there. Better field than Pebble for sure, without a doubt. Playing for good money. And then the ladies' European tour, Phil put out a tweet, which was kind of a bullshit tweet about how Saudi Arabia is doing something for equality in the game. And their ladies' European tour event, they're playing for a purse of $5 million. And like the whole, every response was like, you're really going to prop up Saudi Arabia for treating women well, which is fair.
Do they have rights over there? Women?
No, I don't believe they have any rights.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
No. Yeah. I think they're pretty much, second, third class citizens. So,
yeah.
It wasn't a great tweet by Phil, but he's just trying to. At this point, I don't think he cares. So he's just trying to ruffle as many feathers as possible. But it'll be a good. I think it'll be a good event this weekend in the Chasing Pars tipping contest for Pebble. I picked Denny McCarthy as my pick.
Denny McCarthy.
Nice. Small greens out there. He's a he's a really good putter.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can get hot, I think he might be able to do it. He's a Maryland guy, so went to Virginia. I actually know him. I've played golf with him a couple times back when he was in high school. He was in high school, but so the golf's getting good. I think next week I'm going to start giving out like four or five picks, gambling picks, on who I think is going to win. Get back into the FanDuel or DraftKings.
Yeah. We need to have a DraftKings contest between you and I for the
pot. We should. Yeah, we can. I got plenty of money in there after had a hell of a football season when it comes to Rainmakers. Thank you, Matt Kalish.
Nice.
So yeah, that'll be we'll start doing that as the events continue to get bigger as we gear up for the Masters.
Love it. I love it. Who was your pick for the Masters? I had JT. I think he had Rory. I think he said it had to be his year, right?
Oh, yeah. I have Rory. Then I got Rom for the PGA, Cam Smith for the U.S. Open, and Cam Smith for the British. So I got him, Cam, going back-to-back.
That's right. Yep.
Your JT, Homa, DJ for the PGA. And then Spieth for the Open.
Yeah. That's right. Super Bowl. Who got? I don't know what the line is, but, money line. Who would you pick?
I think it was like two. Chiefs by two, or Eagles or Chiefs. Was it Eagles by two or Chiefs by two? It's going to fluctuate over the next week and a half as people get healthier. Let's see. Let's just check it out while we got a second before we wrap up here. I believe it was Eagles by 2.5.
Probably. I would think so. If I was a betting man, I would think that would be right.
You got I hate the Chiefs, but I think the Chiefs are going to get it done.
Really?
They almost seem like a team of destiny with all the
bullshit. It's a bullshit. 1.5 currently.
Eagles?
Yep. -110.
Okay. I like the Chiefs.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah.
I'll change next week.
You been playing any golf? Have you hit the sticks lately?
No.
No sticks?
Not even. I haven't even picked them up since Thanksgiving.
It's not time, man.
Before Thanksgiving.
Was it? Okay. I thought it was sooner than that.
The last time I played was the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, okay.
Just no time. Like, it gets dark so early.
Yeah, that's
the weather's been really the weather's been kind of shitty too. It's not like
it's been awful. Rain. It's just fantastic rains. During the week. It's warm, and then the weekends get here. It's cold and rainy. And you know.
Yeah, and it's always raining. So no, haven't even touched them.
I hear you. Well, we'll have to get out there, do some more. Where are we at on the passes? Live media passes.
So I checked it out again yesterday because they did announce a couple other events. They announced one in Orlando. Maybe that was the only other one that they announced.
That'd be a good one. That's pretty close to me.
But
4 hours.
There's no date for... so that's the event is actually going to be right the week before the Masters.
Mm.
But there is not a... excuse me. There's not a media credential registration for that event as of yet. Mm. And the Greenbrier registration starts June 30th. So right around my birthday, we'll be getting that.
Nice.
So,
what do we have to provide?
Yeah, like,
you know what it's like. What do we have to say? How do we get in there?
All right. Media. So I'm looking at the Mayakoba.
We're the number 50 ranked golf podcast.
Do you agree with the terms and services? Yes. Let's do web 3 putts.
Sign us up for Mayakoba.
gmail.com.
I'll go to Mexico.
Hell yeah. Outlet name, address, first, last name. Do we request parking passes, workstations?
Yes. All of it.
I don't want to go through all this just to, and then they like give it to us and then we can't go and then we won't get it.
Then we're banned, shadow banned for the rest of the year. So I don't have to provide a ton then, just.
Well, I don't know what the next page is. It might be like.
Yeah.
It could be whatever.
We'll see. We'll get in touch with somebody over there.
Yeah, reach out to the shark. See what he's got to say.
That's right.
He's basically taking over all of it. Anyway, so
we'll get it lined up.
Wonder what. Wonder how much it costs to play in a pro am.
Like Pebble Beach
on Live. No. Live has pro ams.
You can just go.
I mean, you can pay.
Yeah, what are the qualifications? Just pay? Amateur? Sure,
maybe we look at being in the program. That'd be sick.
Yeah. Who would you want to play with? I guess you don't get a pick, but if you could, who do you want to play with?
Oh, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like that.
Phil would be fun. As long as you got Phil and not like some watered down, scared of the Saudis Phil. If you got the Phil Mickelson that you were signing up for.
Yeah, Phil would be fun. DJ would probably be pretty fun to play with.
He would be fine just because of where we live and where he's from. I think would definitely help that out a lot.
Good vibe, yeah.
Little bit of Anthony Kim rumblings out there. Ooh, yeah. Since our last pod. His caddy saying basically that he should take the Live offer. But then apparently one of his really good friends who I forgot his name, but he started a pod with the Malbin Golf guy. Remember we talked about them? And J.R. Smith, who is apparently really good friends with AK, he put out an Instagram video that was like, that's bullshit. I talked to AK for an hour yesterday. He has no plans to pick the clubs up, and or none of that stuff. So
yeah,
you know,
we. But did he say where he is?
He didn't.
Yeah.
But it's like two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah.
When it comes to this, so
but he's got to pick up the clubs for Web 3 putts.
At least at some point, like we're getting closer. You got to feel like we're getting closer. There's rumblings. There's AK rumblings.
Yep, we're finding him soon. It'll be this will be the year. This will be the year of the AK.
Mm-hmm.
That we find him.
That's right. That's right.
Good deal.
All right, brother. Subscribe, rate, review.
Yeah.
Any feedback, please let us know. Brazilian big booty girls, hit us up.
Holler at us at Web3Putts on all our socials. And we will see you next time. Rusty, have a good night.
Good evening.